Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, we praise you this morning. We honor you, Lord. Hold the echo. Remove the echo, Father God. Clear it out in the name of Jesus. Clear it out, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Vivian, do me a favor. Put your phone on mute till I call on you. I'll bring the word.
I'm going to change the phone first and see if the other one's doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we just praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the Most High God. You are the God who loves us. Oh, God, I thank you for your precious love. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you this morning that you heard before we called and you've already answered. And Lord, we just thank you this morning, oh God, that you do hear, you do answer our prayers. And this morning, we break all the assignments of the enemy against our finances in the name of Jesus. We break all curses, all poverty, lack, debt, and failure in the name of Jesus. We seek the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord, and all these things shall be added unto us. We rebuke and cast out all spirits of the cankerworm, palmer worm, caterpillar, and locust that will eat up our blessings in the name of Jesus. Lord, teach us to profit and lead us in the way that we go. Wait, stop for a minute.
It did?
Yeah, it stopped for a minute. Did you have your phone on mute?
No.
You know how to put it on mute and then come back on when I call you?
Okay.
Okay. We rebuke and cast out all spirits of the cankerworm, palmer worm, caterpillar, and locust that will eat up our blessings in the name of Jesus. Lord, teach us to profit and lead us in the way that we should go. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you provide great gifts for your children. You load us up with benefits every day, and we are thanking you like never before. Lord, teach us to profit and lead us in the way we should go. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches are in our houses because we fear you. And we greatly delight in your commandments, O God. In the name of Jesus, the blessings of the Lord upon our lives make us rich. We are blessed coming in and blessed going out. We are your servants, O God. And we take pleasure in our prosperity. Lord, you became poor that through you, O God, your poverty, we might be rich. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, you became poor that through your poverty we might be rich. We meditate on your word day and night, and whatever we do, prosper. Let peace be within our walls and prosperity within our palaces. In the name of Jesus, we prosper through the prophets and the prophetic ministry. In the name of Jesus, we call on your name. We thank you today, Lord God, that you are holy and a righteous king. Oh, God, we believe the prophets and we prosper in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we thank you this morning. We live in prosperity of the king. Through your favor, we will be prosperous people in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you have called us and you will make our way prosperous. We pray in secret, and you reward us openly. We fast in secret, and you reward us openly. You reward us because we diligently seek you in the mighty holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we adore you, and we bless you this morning. Oh, God, we thank you that you are all-wise, the all-knowing, all-wise God of wisdom. And, Father God, we seek after you. We seek after wisdom. to make the proper choices from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, to be guided by you. Oh, God, we are coming as your humble servants. We need to be led by your Holy Spirit. Make us sensitive to your spirit in the name of Jesus. So when your spirit move, we move. When you be still, we be still. When you speak, we listen in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, teach us how to be quiet and be still in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up every person, oh, God, that's coming on Bible Storyland, those that are on already. We bless your name. We honor your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, good morning and welcome to Bible Storyland. We are grateful that you joined us this morning. And we have Karen Itell who's going to play a song of praise. What are you going to play this morning, Karen?
Heavenly sunlight.
Heavenly sunlight. Amen. Go right ahead. Heavenly sunlight. We thank the Lord for his heavenly sunlight that he shine on us on a daily basis. We need the sunlight for healing. We need the sunlight for strength. That's how we get our vitamin D. So we thank God for his heavenly sunlight. Thank you so much, Karen. Beautiful music. Well, Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It is said that a family that prays together stays together. When a husband and a wife and children pray together for anything they ask, Father God, it shall be done. According to God's word, when families ask God for something, it is guaranteed that when they agree on anything, Father God's will, he will accept their prayers. He will answer their prayers. United prayers move the heart of God. And you know what? He answers our prayers according to his will. So we ask for his will to be done in our prayers. He moves to action when families pray together. In God's word, he promises that whatever we ask in his name, believing, he will certainly grant it. So he will do it for us. Situations and families can be changed by the power of prayer in families. Even when husbands and wives come together to pray, God moves. He answers their prayers. When children come together with their parents, God hears and answers their prayers. Well, good morning again. It's Family Day on Bible Storyland. We, the family of God on Bible Storyland, call on the name of the Lord for families this morning. Families need love. Families need unity. Families need peace. Families need faith. Families need protection, safety. Families need excellent physical and spiritual health. Unity is the key to answer prayers in families. Unity, being a united force against the devil, coming together to agree with God's will for your lives. God created families when families draw nigh to him, he will come close to them. He loves families. He created families. Deuteronomy 5:28-29, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto him. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk, ride, fly, cruise, or lie down, and when you get up. All our waking hours we must teach our children the commandments of the Lord. Today is family day, and we are thanking the Lord. We are honoring husbands and wives and children and extended families, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. I want to read you a brief story that someone sent me a few weeks ago. I'm going to share it with you. To me, this story is an expression of true love of a husband and for his wife. It also reminds me of how Christ, our husband, loves and treats us. So this is, says, it's called A Lovely Story. The passengers on the bus watched sympathetically as the attractive young woman with the white cane made her way carefully up the steps. She paid the driver, and using her hands to feel the location of the seat, walked down the aisle and found the seat he told her was empty. Then she settled in, placed her briefcase on her lap, and rested her cane against her leg. It had been a year since Susan, 34, became blind. Due to a medical misdiagnosis, she had been rendered sightless, and she suddenly was thrown into a world of darkness, anger, frustration, and self-pity. Once a fierce, independent woman, Susan now felt condemned by this terrible, twisted fate to become a powerless, helpless burden to everyone around her. How could this have happened to me? She pleaded. Her heart knotted with anger. But no matter how much she cried or ranted or prayed, she knew the painful truth. Her sight was never going to return. A cloud of depression hung over Susan's optimistic spirit. Getting through each day was an exercise in frustration and exhaustion. And all she had to do was to cling to her husband, Mark. Mark was an Air Force officer, and he loved Susan with all his heart. When she first lost her sight, he watched her sink into despair and was determined to help his wife gain her strength and confidence. She needed to become independent again. Mark's military background and training had trained him well to deal with sensitive situations, yet he knew this was the most difficult battle he would ever face. Finally, Susan felt ready to return to her job. But how would she get there, she thought. She used to take the bus, but was now too frightened to get around the city by herself. Mark volunteered to drive her to work each day, even though they worked at opposite ends of the city. At first, this comforted Susan and fulfilled Mark's need to protect his sightless wife, who was so insecure about performing the slightest task. Soon, however, Mark realized that this arrangement wasn't working. It was hectic and costly. Susan is going to have to start taking the bus again, he admitted to himself. But just the thought of mentioning it to Susan made him cringe. She was still so fragile, so angry. How would she react? Just as Mark predicted, Susan was horrified at the idea of taking the bus again. I'm blind, she responded bitterly. How am I supposed to know where I'm going? I feel like you're abandoning me, she told her husband. Mark's heart broke to hear these words, but he knew what had to be done. He promised Susan that each morning and evening he would ride the bus with her for as long as it took until she got the hang of it, and that was exactly what happened. 2 solid weeks, Mark, military uniform and all, accompanied Susan to and from work each day. He taught her how to rely on her other senses, specifically her hearing, to determine where she was and how to adapt to her new environment. He helped her befriend the bus driver who would watch out for her and save her seat. He made her laugh, even on those not-so-good days when she would trip exiting the bus or drop her briefcase. Each morning, they made the journey together, and Mark would take a cab back to his office. Although this routine was even more costly and exhausting than the previous one, Mark knew it was a matter of time before Susan would be able to ride the bus on her own. He believed in her, in the Susan he used to know before she lost her sight, who wasn't afraid of any challenge and who would never, ever quit. Finally, Susan decided that she was ready to try the trip on her own. Monday morning arrived, and before she left, she threw her arms around Mark, her temporary bus riding companion, her husband, and her best friend. Her eyes filled with tears of gratitude for his loyalty and his patience, his love. She said goodbye for the first time. They went their separate ways Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Each day on her own went perfectly, and Susan never felt better. She was doing it. She was going to work by herself. On Friday morning, Susan took the bus to work as usual. As she was paying for her fare to exit the bus driver said, "Boy, I sure envy you." Susan wasn't sure if the bus driver was speaking to her or not. After all, who on earth would envy a blind woman who had to struggle just to find the courage to live for the past year? Curious, she asked the driver, "Why do you say that you envy me?" The driver responded, "It must feel so good to be taken care of and protected and loved like you are." Susan had no idea what the driver was talking about and asked him again, "What do you mean?" The driver answered, "You know, every morning for the past week, a fine-looking gentleman in a military uniform has been standing across the corner watching you when you get off the bus. He makes sure you cross the street safely, and he watches you until you enter your office building. Then he blows you a kiss, gives you a little salute, and walks away. You are one lucky lady." Tears of happiness poured down Susan's cheeks, for although she couldn't physically see him, she had always felt Mark's presence. She was lucky, so lucky, for he had given her the most powerful He had given her a gift more powerful than sight, a gift she didn't need to see to believe, the gift of love that can bring light where there had been darkness. So when I read that story about Susan and her husband, I thought about God and how he watches over us. We don't even see him, but he watches over us carefully. Everywhere we go, he makes sure we get there safely. He makes sure we get back safely. He makes sure no accidents, incidents, or mishaps happen to us. And he blows us kisses in his word. When you read his word, it's full of love and kisses, full of affection, full of the love of God, how much he loves us and adores us, how much he loves us with all of his heart. That's what that story made me think of, the love of God for us, his children. Well, let's continue to worship God this morning with intense praise. I thank God for each of you being on this morning. I thank God that Karen played a song of praise, Heavenly Sunshine, Heavenly Sunlight. So as we continue this morning, well, we have Jackie Travis on, and I think Donna is with her, Donna Hawkins and her family. Good morning, Jackie. How are y'all doing?
Good morning, Sister Jean. We are doing great. We had a good time with the family so far, and we are at Donna's church right now. We're going to sing my mother's favorite song. My sister Sharona and Deborah's here with us. Deborah's going to sing with us, right, Deborah?
Amen. We have
Sharona. She's going to sing with us today. So Deborah might sing. We'll see. Okay.
You know, sing. I want to hear you sing, Deborah, too. And Minister Donna Hawkins, I know she's going to sing, too. So we are ready to listen to you all. You all have such awesome voices. I praise the Lord and thank God for y'all.
Okay.
There is no doubt in my mind.
Okay.
But thank you so much. I love y'all.
Oh, my God, I thank the Lord for the songs of praise that went forth this morning. Heavenly sunlight, I have decided to make Jesus my choice. And do you love Jesus way down in your heart? Now, you know that's how we got to love him, way down in our hearts. You know, God loves us so much that he gave his only son for us. So we got to love him way down in our hearts. You know, the word of God says, beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ that published salvation. Our speaker this morning has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in America and abroad. She loves God's people. She loves God. She loves God's people all over the world. She preached in Africa more than on one occasion. And she is loved by the body of Christ in America, in Africa, abroad. She has her own blog talk radio show. She comes on Sunday nights. It's called God's Favorites. And hopefully she'll give you the phone number so you can call in and listen. And sometimes she has to remind me, but sometimes I listen in. I think it comes on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So I thank God. We welcome back. She's an intercessor, a worshiper, a praiser, and she stands in the gap for the children as well. Her name is Minister Vivian George. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. So wonderful to be here with you.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us. I tell you what, Vivian holds up my arms during the week. I thank God for her prayers that bring change. And I am so grateful to her because I can count on her to be on. Sometimes it's just me and Vivian, or Vivian and me on the prayer line for the children on Tuesdays. So we encourage you to join us so we can all pray for the children together. Well, just before Vivian comes on, Vivian, I'm going to ask, Miss Ludell just came on. I'm going to ask Miss Ludell if she would sing a song for us this morning. Good morning, Miss Ludell.
Good morning. How everybody doing? Sorry, I'm late.
Doing good.
All right.
I am glad to hear your voice
shine
this morning.
On me, oh, Lord. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, where the shall I go? Oh, let the light shine on me. Oh, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, oh, shine on me, oh Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me.
Amen, amen. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. You know what? The lighthouse guides us. It guides us in the way that we should go. When you get lost, you look for the lighthouse. And it will shine on us and guide us in our way. Thank you, Miss Ludell. We love you. Thank you for being on with us. Well, as I said, we have Vivian George, Minister Vivian George, on with us this morning. And she's going to bring the word of the Lord. Go right ahead, Vivian. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Praise the Lord. I bring God's favorite ministry to you every Sunday night for 7 p.m. on Blog Talk. All you have to do is dial in 1-714-409-0578. And if you miss that number, maybe I'll think to give it to you after 1-719-714-409-0578. I am so glad to be here to just speak a few words to you to encourage that we need our families back. You know, that is one of the biggest things, and that was on our prayer line for this month. We are praying for the families. Families are being torn from left to right. In Hollywood, they announced today so many divorces taking place. And it really startled me to know that people are just giving in and out of divorce, just like the word says. I don't think people really realize that being a parent entails an awesome responsibility and accountability for the new life that God has given. When God put two together, they become one flesh. They become bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, the Bible says. And they are to live together, either in heaven or hell. When two people are taking vows, we need to be more careful than just to say, let the flesh get in and say, I want to marry this person. I want to marry this person. Let God lead you in these times, because the devil is so subtle. Yes, the devil is waiting now because the voice is so high. The voices are so high. And I think people is allowing the flesh to use them in ways where they don't recognize that this is a very, very important time in life where we should be more careful of each other's feelings. Some marry for money. Some marry for fame. But Mark says in 8:36, what shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? And I'm going to tell you why I said that. Because you can get married and you can profit and you can have all kind of things. I know a young girl now. Her husband go all across the world working. And, I mean, they got everything that they need. They have 5 cars in the yard. Beautiful big 2-story house. But while he was away, she was with another man. And all that she had accomplished and her husband, and he's just sitting there with his head hung down. He don't know which way to go. All that he knew how to do to provide for his family, he was trying to do it. But now they are separated. And she said she don't want to go back to her beautiful home. The devil has stepped in and deceived her. And we know that the Bible say if one is caught in adultery, they have the right for a divorce. But I don't think this young man is even, he was angry at first, yes. But as things come down, I think he wants his wife. He don't know which way. You know, this is what causes some people to go out on drugs and alcohol, skid row, because they don't know which way life is going to take them. Life is full of tar. Life is full of
transgression.
I'm trying to say surprises. Life is, things will hit you when least you think. When we look at the children in the midst of this, marriage has come to the place that children, no child ever respects a parent. And when we see cases like this, children does lose respect for their parents, or either in the word or deed. They don't even have any respect for the word. Why do we have now the children out here doing what they are doing? Because of the home. We must go back to the home. It is any wonder that there is a juvenile delinquency problem when so many parents have carelessly, with their words and actions, has disgraded the raising of their children. They have turned them over to babysitters, to the Sunday school teacher, to the schools for help, to the television, and let them look at the television. This is not what God ordained. God ordained that man, come on man, and be the head, that you are to teach your family before they even leave home. You are to teach your wife and your children, so when they go outside to listen to the pastor or listen to the school teacher, they will take what they have learned from home and bring it with them. Mm-hmm. And so many people are asking the question today, what can we do? What is going on? They are so puzzled because they have not come back to the root of the thing, the source of the thing, where it all, we must come back to what Jesus has ordained, God has ordained. God ordained man and woman, and he ordained man to teach his children, and that they would be brought up in the admonition of the Lord. They won't turn to drinking and smoking and swearing to parents and arguing and disrespectful to each other and other people, other genders, argumentative and disrespectful children who just smoke, drink, smoke, just get out there and sit out there and clown. This is going against God's laws. We, our children, and then when the police shoot them down, we are angry and say, oh, they were wrong. Maybe they were wrong, but our children was wrong also, because they must know that they should not be in this environment, that they should not run from the police. If you don't have anything wrong, then you will stand up and be obedient to the policeman when he says something to you. Not curse him, not disrespect him. He's in authority. He is to do his job. Then if a policeman would stop me, I am to stop and listen to what he has to say, give him my license, and if nothing is wrong, the policeman's going to let you go. But if I'm doing wrong, I'm going to try to run and try to hide. But God don't want us to run and hide because he said your sins will find you out. Oh, my God. Your sins will find you out. And I have heard Sister G quote this many times, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, Satan has caused violence and death. This is God's word that I'm teaching you this morning. Satan has caused violence and death in our homes. And now in these days that we are looking in, it is growing and it's growing and it's growing. And many of us asking the question, why is it growing? It's growing because there is no teaching in the home. We must. We have to. And if we don't, it's going to continue and it's going to glamorize and it's going to, the devil is just going to do his work, what he intended to do. Only the husband and the wife have had a genuine experience with salvation and filling of the Holy Spirit will be able to stand on the onslaught, sexuality, emotionally, financially, moral, and spiritually. They should be united and put the training of their children in the fear of the Lord. We should teach our children the fear of the Lord. I must tell you this little example. My son and my daughter were down the street by some friend's house, and they were all cutting up and having fun and calling each other fools. My daughter, a little bitty girl at that time, looked up at them and said, my mama said, call nobody no fool, call you in danger of hellfire. That is the word of God. So she calls home. She don't come home. She calls home where they are, and she said, mama, didn't you say not to call anybody a fool, that they are in danger of hellfire? I said, yes. She said, where is it in the Bible? I said, mark them down here calling each other fools. And my brother. So I told them, and she was very happy. And you know how that made me feel as a parent? She was so happy that she could tell those boys that she was in the midst not to call each other a fool. So the word was in her heart. And it had to come out because, God, this is another thing you must realize. When you have planted the seed, the word of God, that word will go forth and it will manifest itself in due time. Even though they stray, that word will bring them back. We must realize where we are, people. We must realize that we must teach our children and live. Our husband and wives must live in a way that we must teach them the Ten Commandments, that those who break them are soon broken by them. You will be broken if you don't get the Ten Commandments in your heart. Many of our children don't know the Our Father's prayer, besides knowing how to pray. It's never taught in the home anymore. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Our children need knowledge. Our children need the knowledge of the word to go into their spirit. Most times, they are not going to listen to it on a TV. this is not what God ordained. No, God ordained husband and wife to teach their children. Too much anger is in the home. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is better than mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, than he that taketh a city. Children develop anger at a very early age, and it should not be brought. And it, you know why they develop anger at an early age? Because of what's going on in the home. Why do we have so many children out here angry? They're angry about this. They're angry about this. They're carrying guns. They're doing this. And they are so angry. When you say something to them, they want to chew you up. Mm-hmm. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Mm-hmm. And a loving favor rather than silver or gold. I'm going to cut this off for today, but I want to tell you, husband and wife need a good name. It will go through your children. A good name, riches, anything you have, is not worth having a good name. You can be the poorest of person, but if you got a good name, your children are happy. We have to, that's Proverbs 22:1. If we have a good name for training up our children, teaching our children, it's better than any piece of gold. Mm. We have the loving love from the Father. And God will flow out his blessings when we have a good name. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you. And maybe I'll come back and I will finish this one day. But let's recognize that we need to go back to the home.
Yeah.
That the home first must be dealt with before we can deal with the things of the world and what's going on all around us. Thank you, Sister G, for having me again. My number is 1-714-409-0578. I pray that you are blessed by this little teaching on the family. Thank you.
Amen. It was indeed a blessing. I thank God for you, Minister Vivian George. The word was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I just love to hear you teach because you're such a great teacher on the family. You just bring it right home. You break it down so people, even children, can understand it. And I love that example about your little... Your children, when they were little, oh, my God, sometimes children just touch your heart with the things they say. And I thank God for you writing the word, making sure that you taught them how to pray, how to even know the word. You quoted the scripture so much around them and taught them. So I thank God for you. And I thank God for her blog talk radio show, God's Favorites. It comes on tomorrow night. I think it's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. As she said, the number is 1-714-409-0578. Well, it's salvation time. God wants you saved. God wants your family saved. God said that for he so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only son, so that we could be saved. And then after we are saved, we got to tell other people about Jesus who died for us and how much he loved them. And he wants them saved as well. And, you know, salvation is very, very easy. God made it so simple for us to be saved. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And you believe in your heart, you shall be saved. And that you know, you got to know that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And you will be saved. So I thank God. This morning, everyone who's on is saved this morning. So I thank God. And, you know, backsliding is not an option. Backsliding is going against God's plans for our lives. God wants us to grow in him. Growth is necessary. First, we're on the bottle, drinking milk, and then we begin to eat meat. We got to grow in God. We can't just stay stagnant. Daily, we should run into God's presence and dwell with him, not backslide, which is running away from God. God loves it when we look for him and spend time with him. If we seek him, we will find him. So I thank God this morning. I want to make an announcement about Gantling Family Daycare Home. We're open for enrollment. We also have a tutoring center. The tutoring center will begin this Monday from 4 to 6 p.m., 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. And parent orientation is August the 20th, and school will begin August the 24th for the children. So I thank God for each of you. And this morning, for the sake of time, I am going to say a general prayer for everyone. I'm just going to say a general prayer. And we're going to be getting off a little bit sooner than usual today. So I thank God for you all coming on. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Karen and Miss Ludell and Jackie and Donna and their family members, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for Stacy Holman. I thank you, Lord God, for Minister Vivian, who came on, who brought the word this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in her life and all of our lives, oh God. We thank you that you love us on Bible Storyland. You love our families. And, Lord, we lift up families today in the world, and we ask you, Lord, to draw the husbands and wives closer to you, closer with each other. We bind the hand of the enemy that's coming in to divide and conquer the family. We call forth, we decree and declare families will be strong in the Lord. They will pray together. They will stay together. They will ride through the tough times together. They will hold hands through the tough times together. They will put their hand in the hand of the man who calmed the waters, Jesus. Oh, God, they will trust in you like never before. For family, for their family's well-being. I thank you, Father God, for husbands and wives teaching their children the way they should go, training them up in the most holy faith. We bless and honor you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done on Bible Storyland and what you're going to do. We thank you for peace. You are Jehovah Shalom, our peacemaker. And we thank you this morning for all that you've done and all that you're about to do. What a mighty God you are. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you've done for us over the years. We don't take it for granted. We are grateful. And, Lord, we thank you for the children. We lift up the children as they are about to go back to school. We bind up every terrorist attack, every target that's being targeted against our children. We send it back to the sender. We thank you that our children are in a safe place in you, safe when they're in their home, safe in the street when they go to school, safe on the buses, safe in the classroom, safe in the schools, in the cafeteria, in the hallways, in the bathroom, everywhere they go, on the playgrounds, oh God. Oh, send holy angels to watch over them. We decree and declare that our children are in a safe place in you on a daily basis. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your protection, your guidance, your strength. Let our children hear your voice as children, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So we bless and honor you, and we thank you this morning in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, we lift up the elderly as well. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for Mother Newsom, Mother Hawkins. We thank you, Lord God, for Miss Ludell. We thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Huggins and Jackie's patience. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all the strength that you're putting in their bodies. We thank you, Lord God, for their healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor your presence, and we thank you for what you did on Bible Storyland this day. And every week when we come on, we are grateful to you, O Most High. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's closing time on Bible Storyland. We serve a great God, a mighty God. Even the angels bow down and worship our God. He's the only true and living God. He loves us, and he has great plans for us. So let's always give him glory and praise. Remember, nobody can love you like God loves you. So let's all become the apple of his eye. Let's run into his presence. Let's run and stay in his presence. Let's hunger for him, thirst for him. The best is yet to come. The best is on the way. So have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. I love y'all.
All right. We love you.